Thank you, guys. Thank you all for showing up today. How many of y'all glad that beyond all else, Jesus Christ showing up today? He's going to show up no matter what. And every one of you here today, I just want you to know that God has something in store for you if you'll just listen and you'll let this unfold. This is a week we call Holy Week inside the life of the church. It's a week that we begin to celebrate and we begin to remember and we begin to embrace what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. And so before we even start with this, this is going to be all about Jesus. I want you to really look at your neighbor and let them know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Just tell them, you know, Jesus loves you. Just let them know that. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. No matter what, He loves you. Now I want you to grab a hold of this, and I want you to hold on to it. And I want you to hear me very clearly. You and I live in the United States of America. You're going to hear a lot of things in the United States of America. And you better start listening to what Jesus says. Okay, there's no way to survive Hillview if you don't understand this very core belief we have at Hillview. We believe that Jesus Christ came for all people. Okay, now you got to get this. Okay? He didn't come for any certain ethnic group. He didn't come for country people and city people. He came from all human beings. And you've seen this week, man. Guess what? One of the things that you're going to learn, and I hope you've learned this, and Easter teaches this, and please do not be deceived. And I expect you to use your intellect. I'm a pastor that believes that, you know, God gave us thinking ability for a reason and told us to reason for a reason. And I'll tell you some things that are really in the Bible. They tell you, let us gather together and reason. That's this. I want you to know this beyond the shadow of a doubt. Jesus Christ loves all people. And you and I will never save ourselves. Never. Give me a point in human history where we have ever got out of what we've gotten into. In the days of Noah, how did we structure our way out of that great disaster? God made a move. Not humanity made a move. God made a move. And this morning, God is making a move. Now, if you're wondering, should I give my life to Jesus Christ? Or maybe you have these questions today. Why in the world would someone become a Christ follower? My first statement to you would be this. Jesus Christ is the only God entity that I know of that comes to you. Every other religious philosophy, you must go to that. You must become this way so that God will approve you. You either have to follow a system. Well, all of them have systems. Jesus has systems. But Jesus brings heaven to us. And nowhere do we find that more than we do in John 12:12. So go with me to John 12:12. Here's the good news. We can't save ourselves. How many of y'all think you can save yourself? Of course, you probably wouldn't raise your hand now after I've given a pretty good foundation that we can't save ourselves. I mean, I really want you to know this because guess what? If you don't understand, you can't save yourself. If you don't understand this, you will always try to save yourself. And I guarantee you, I've preached to many of you, you've heard me 1,000 times say, nobody gets to heaven unless you go through who? Jesus. And I guarantee you, girls, let me tell you what they'll be. There'll be somebody standing up here, they're going to be standing right up on the great throne of judgment, and they're going to go, Jesus, I was a good person. I can hear it right now. I was a good American. I voted good. I ate well. I didn't smoke, drink, or chew, or do. I did all the things you wanted me to do. And guess what? You did not. Because here's our problem. We're not bad people. Just kind of look at your neighbor for a second and kind of whisper to him and just go, you're not that bad. Come on. Come on, whisper it to him. Come on, front row. Y'all got to whisper. Now, whisper it to him nice. Nice, you know. Robbie, it's where you get to whisper in good-looking girls' ear. Nice, okay? In church, you go, you're not that bad. Okay? Now tell them the truth. You're dead. Tell your neighbor, you're dead. See, now you're going to hear the God. No, y'all aren't doing it. You're dead. Tell them they're dead. Watch this. You know what I'm looking at in this room? If Jesus doesn't come to town, what happens to all of us? There you go. How many of you all have some dead friends walking? Now, see, this changes the gig. Jesus Christ did not come to make us good. Dwayne, that's where everybody messed it up when we were growing up. They stood up in the pulpit. Well, if you come to church, you'll be good. And you won't do these things and you'll be good. Man, I heard so much stuff in the pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for stopping us. But hold on, let me tell you what the premise was. We can be honest in here. The premise was I could save myself. See, here's what the church said. The church wanted to make me church approved. So if they said if I didn't do these certain behaviors that church approved of not doing, then I would be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Now here's the problem with that. That violates everything of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm coming into your world so you can get to my world. He did not say, you have to clean up before I come. He says, I'm going to come get you. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to embrace you with my love. And when I take your heart, you'll be fit for heaven. Now, let me tell you what's in here. How many of you all are fit for heaven? That's it? Gosh, fire up the baptistry. We can sing. We got to baptize about 1,000 people today. Because guess what? You need to be fit for heaven. If Jesus Christ is in your life, you're fit for heaven. How many of you realize that? So what was Jesus when he was walking in Jerusalem? He was coming into humanity, not walking away from it. He was coming into it. Now here's what I want you to know. Jesus came in spite, Frank, in spite of what the crowd said. Now they are juiced up. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And there is a crowd following Jesus. Go with me to John 12:12. It's the time of the Passover, the Jewish feast. The world is disturbed, much like it is today. How many of y'all noticed that the world gets disturbed at times? And the next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his what? How many of y'all glad to know Jesus is on his way? Now I want you to hold that. And I want you to hear this. Jesus is on his way into your life if you'll listen. Now here's good news. Jesus is on his way no matter what anybody else says. You can't stop Jesus. Watch this. Did Hitler stop Jesus? Mm-mm. Did communism stop Jesus? Can capitalism stop Jesus? Can the Republicans stop Jesus? What about the Democrats? What about the independents? What about white people? No. Black people? No. Green people? No. Purple people? No. Combos? I'm just checking to see if everybody's got it. Now, just so we don't forget this, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, we can't control him. Even though we've tried. Mm-hmm. See, we want to control Jesus. We want Jesus to do it like us. We want Jesus to be the people's Jesus. But Jesus is going to be heaven's Savior to earth. And you and I can't change that. But man, we can receive that. You see, we can't change Jesus. We can receive Jesus and follow Jesus. I want you all to hear this because guess what? That will be argued among you. There's only one way to get rid of sin. Repent. Watch this. Y'all were blown away last week. I had some of my figuring people. They got blown away last week when I made this statement from the pulpit. When I said, can you imagine if we removed sexual immorality out of this country, what that would do to our economy? I had some people that figured, and they were amazed at the billions of dollars that begin to save. But you see, we don't want to confront the real issue in society. We want to talk about the sideline instead of the problem. The problem is sin. But see, we don't want to, we're not going to touch that because that ticks too many people off. And I tell you what, if you're going to be politically correct, here's what you're going to end up doing. You're going to fairy dance your way into hell. Because let me tell you something about your Jesus. Never one time did He worry about the acceptance of humanity. Not one time. He came to Jerusalem even though some wanted to kill Him. How many of y'all glad we got a Jesus that comes for us even when some wants to kill Him? See, as Jesus went on His way, go look. When Jesus turned around, came back, healed Lazarus, guess what happened? He wrote down his death card. Because he went toward where he could die. Now, how many of y'all glad to know you got a Jesus that'll come get you even if He has to die in the process? Oh, hold on. I don't know anybody else that'll do that, do you? Everybody else, they'll be for me until it costs them something. How many of y'all found that to be true in life? Young people, you want me to enlighten you? No human being will ever be totally faithful to you. Never. You say, what about my wife? They'll never be totally faithful. What about your husband? They'll never be totally faithful. We can be kind of faithful. Have y'all dated yet? Yay or nay? Robbie, have you ever found, you've gone out on a date, right? Have you ever found a date that's been absolutely straight with you? All the way straight. They don't make one. And have you been straight all the way with them? No. You notice how men confess that a lot quicker. I didn't let her know a lot of stuff. No, hold on. Now watch. I feel the nervous tension in here. Right now, I feel the big spirit of nervous. Y'all are going, oh my God, he's going to talk about lying. Well, let's talk about it. How many of y'all lied last week? And the rest of you, the hands down, y'all are super liars. You know how you got super delegates? Y'all are super liars because you can't even tell the truth that you lie. We all create misperception. Is that not true? Even over little things. You know, sometimes I don't tell my wife the total truth. I've been working on a deal on trading something lately, and she said, how much does it really cost? I said, I don't have the hard numbers. See, I can be a politician too. They never have the hard numbers. Jesus had the hard number. He loves you enough to come with the hardness of the cross in front of Him, with the absolute reality of His suffering for your life. Now you understand this week? It's about God embracing you with total love. It's about God never giving up on you because He loves you. It's because God made you and He will never let go of you that He entered into Jerusalem. And here's how He came. He came just like the Bible said He was going to come. Guess what Jesus does? He enters into Jerusalem. They're all excited. They are excited because Jesus is going to do something amazing. He raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, people were so aware of Jesus that it was right before Jesus comes to Jerusalem in the Gospel of John that this woman, she brings out this Nard Chanel number 6, most expensive perfume. You know, it's Armani. It's good stuff. She pours it at the feet of Jesus, and who speaks up? And what was Judas concerned about? The poor. He's concerned about the poor. You know what has amazed me? All these people that are concerned about the poor, you ought to check how rich they are. Huh. I mean, they ain't kind of rich. They millions of dollars rich. Why was Judas concerned about the poor? He was the treasurer and he was pilfering out of the account. And Jesus says, my mission is greater than feeding people. It's about bringing dead people back to what? And you know what I found? When people come to life in Christ, they don't want to stay poor anymore. Oh my gosh. You mean Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so life-changing that it would actually rewire my understanding of where I've been? My friends, let me tell you. Do you know of a story that has more suffering than Jesus? Lord, have mercy. Jesus Christ would have to spend an eternity with a therapist if we were going to unpack Him. Where were you born, Jesus? A barn. What about your parents? Adoptive. What about your life situation? Jesus was born out of wedlock. How many of y'all realize that you got a Savior and a pastor that was born out of wedlock? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I was some fraternity party and I showed up 9 months later. I say the party never ended. Which is, I want some of y'all to hear some real hope, some real honest hope. It does not matter where you got here or how you got here. It matters who you're going to let in. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. Let me help you. Every social ill you see today was in Jerusalem. And Jesus came in there. You know what I love about Jesus? He's not scared of our sin. He walks right in the middle of Jerusalem and He brings great hope. Now this is what I want you to focus on this week. How many of y'all realize Jesus is on His way? How many of y'all need a pause every once in a while and say, wait a minute, Jesus is on His way? When I was in high school, I had a bad problem. Cars would stop in front of me and I would hit them. Now people have quit stopping in front of me. But I there, the first thing, I don't know what it was. I may have driven a little bit fast. But a lot of times, some of you have ridden with me, I drive and talk like this. And if I had buddies in the back seat, I'd be talking to them and people stop right in front of me. And sometimes I couldn't hit the brake quick enough. Well, guess what? Mr. Hemming, I hope you don't ever have to do this, but I had to do this. I called 843-8873 before cell phones. So you had to go to some neighbor's house where you had wrecked a car in front of their house. And you'd have to say, can I borrow your phone, ma'am? She said, yes. And you'd go in there and dial the phone. And I'd say, Daddy, yeah, everybody's all right, but you won't believe it. Somebody stopped in front of me again. These were some comforting words. Guess what He said? I'm not going to tell you everything He said, but I'm going to tell you these words. I'm giving you the comforting words that He said. I'm on my way. That's the greatest words I know. Jesus, when He came to Jerusalem in John 12:12, He said, I'm on my way. And Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem and they broke out in song and they started singing, Hosanna! You know what that means? Saved. Save us. Hallelujah! The King! Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. He was riding on a young donkey. And you know why He was riding on a young donkey? Because that's exactly what the Bible said He'd be riding on. He wasn't riding on the old donkey. He wasn't riding on a mule. He wasn't on a thoroughbred. He was on a young donkey because the prophet said He'd be on a young donkey. And he wanted to get every detail correct because He is the King of Kings. He walks into Jerusalem with all truth, all reckoning, all love. And guess what? They sing in songs. Now be careful of the crowd though. Because the same crowd that sings the songs is the same crowd that also sings, Crucify Him. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Will everybody listen to me? Please hear me clearly. I need to be heard clearly in case somebody puts this on Fox. There is one Savior, and we're not it. Is everybody clear? There is no human system that will save you. If you don't know that by now, living in America, you are on Mars. We can't save ourselves. Jerusalem couldn't save itself. Rome couldn't save Jerusalem. Okay? There is a Savior though. His name is Jesus and He wants to save us. But we gotta allow it. Lord Jesus, I receive You. I'm glad You're on the way. Lord Jesus, I'm gonna love You like You love me. Wow. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. How many of y'all welcome with Jesus with Hosanna? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now be careful. The plot thickens. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey coat. He is who he is. At first, his disciples, they didn't understand what was going on. And it wasn't to after Jesus was glorified, to after Jesus went and died and was resurrected, that they realized why he came in like he came in. How many of y'all, it takes you a little while to understand things? Yeah. How many of y'all are about 30 years old? Anybody here 30 years old? Stuart, you're 30 years old now? Oh my gosh, you're at the age of crucifixion.
Thanks.
33 years old. Okay, now at 33... do some things you believed at 23 look a lot different now? Because now they've been what? Glorified. When I say you can't save yourself, do you really believe that now? I bet you didn't believe it when the preacher said that when you were 16. I didn't either. I said, that preacher don't know what he's talking about. That preacher ain't never met Steve Ayers. They have no idea what God's created here. Woody, did you ever think like that? My gosh, I'm from Scottsville. I can ride a Harley. Ain't nobody stop me. How many of you? Jack. I am a Marine, an Army man, a Navy man. I have served in all. I am bad. And what did you realize? Not bad enough. How many of y'all thought, man, I'm going to get a lot of education and know something? How many of y'all, that was a disappointment? You graduated from college and all you really learned when you started working in the real world, you had graduated from college. And wasn't it amazing that people that had been doing what you wanted to do for 20 years knew how to do it better than you did? Because all you had done is written a paper about it. This is especially true when applied to like brain surgery. I like my surgeons to have practice. Amen? And I always feel more comfortable when there's an old surgeon over there going, now, I don't know if you do it like that, but I'd go around this way because I went straight one time and it didn't work real well. I'd go around. Where was the guy you went straight on? Well, Pastor Ayers did his funeral, so I'd go around this way. It's the good news about doctors. That's a big difference between doctors and preachers. Doctors get to bury their mistakes. We live with ours. That's the truth. It's real. We can't save ourselves. I want y'all to realize that week. Cannot save ourselves. But here's what I want you to embrace. Jesus has come to save us. And I hope you'll let Him do that. How many of y'all still got some things you really need to let Jesus save? Amen. Take away. How many of y'all got some places you need to get rid of some dead areas of your life and let some hallelujah, hosanna, praise ye, the Lord get in those areas? Huh? Yeah. Well, what's our job? Make the way. And here's what Jesus is going to do. He's coming. He's coming this week. Ain't nobody can stop Him. He's coming this week. Can you imagine right now, what would this place be like if you knew Jesus the Christ was appearing live at the L.T. Smith Houchins new football field over there at Western? Did I get it right? It's the Houchins, L.T. Smith, whatever names will give money to it. Got you. It's a beautiful place. Big Jumbotron. What would it be like if Jesus was coming on the Western football field Jumbotron this Sunday? What will we be doing? We got to what? Make ready. I mean, the limos, we got to get the limos set up. We got to get the judge exec to welcome Jesus in, give Him a key to the city. We got to get all the people together. We got to have a good time. We got to hand out water because it might be hot. I mean, we got to get ready because He's landing there, John Paul, right out there at the Bowling Green Airport. If He was coming into the city, how would we be? Or would some of you be like this? Well, now I'm really busy this week. Okay. I mean, I got real important things to do. I got a lot more important things to do than take care of my salvation. I mean, and Jesus understands. He understands. I got kids. It's like now when you have a kid, you're supposed to take a 20-year vacation off for life. Let me let some of you parents in. This is going to blow you away. We've been having children since the beginning of time. I'm going to blow some of you mothers away. They used to have kids without Lamas. Blow you away. That's what I told Elizabeth, man. We went to Lamas when we was having kids. That was just too complicated to me. He, hoo, hoo, ha. And I said, Elizabeth, I believe that sucker coming out of there no matter what we do. When it wants out, it's going to come out. I mean, there's just some things that happen. We're not in control is what I'm trying to tell you today. But there is a Jesus that has brought heaven's possibility to us. Embrace it. And it's in a person. His name is Jesus. Embrace Him. And guess what? People started following because He brought dead stuff back to life. That's the whole message of this faith. I tell you why I follow Jesus. Two reasons. First of all, it's the only God that comes to you. All other faith systems, you got to go get God. True? And I just knew I'd miss something up in those complicated systems. And I'd hate to be a Hindu because I knew I'd come back as a mouse or something like that. And then I'd be ticked about being a mouse and I'd end up coming back as a cockroach the next time. I mean, it'd be awful. I'm glad I got a God that comes to me. Amen? And I'd never get my karma straight. I'd be messing my karma up all the time. Here's the deal. My karma's messed up. And somebody's got to fix it. And His name is who? It'd be hard for me to follow Islam. Those five pillars, man, I know I'd mess up on a few of them. True? I mean, I'd skip church every once in a while. Some of y'all would mess up on a lot of them. Huh? I can't earn my way to heaven. Second reason I follow Jesus is He brings dead things to life. I'm just into a God that rents tombs. I love it. Jesus rents tombs. Can you imagine Jesus going over to J.C. Kirby's? Hey, Kevin, I need a plot, but I only need it for 3 days. What are you going to charge me? I mean, Jesus is the only guy that ever had to rent. I mean, I would love to go over. Hey, Kirby, I need a casket, but just for 3 days because I'm coming out on the third. What do you charge for a 3-day rental on that casket? Now y'all got the picture of this Jesus. He rented a tomb. That ought to clue everybody in right there. I'm not staying dead. Amen. I bring people back to life, and they cannot kill me because I've come so that you come back to life. Everybody was tore up about this Lazarus thing because look what they kept saying. Now the crowd that was with Him when He called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Guess what I want you to do this week? Take a guess. So they spread palm branches and they spread what? You know what? We ought to be doing this all the time symbolically, but I'll do it literally, right? I mean, we lay palm branches down. Do y'all know the possibility of Jesus in your life? It's what we do all the time. Look, our job, there's a possibility of Jesus. Here, I want to make way for Jesus to tell you something good. I want to talk to you about Jesus doing something good. Basically, we are palm branch people. Hey, did you realize what Jesus could do in that marriage? Did you realize what Jesus could do in your finances? Do you realize what Jesus might do in you? We make a way for the who? Lord. That's what all of us followers do. Isn't that cool? But guess what, bro? I can't save you. Boy, if I tried to save you, guess what happened to you? You'd be messed up. And if you tried to save me up, guess what might happen? Would I be messed up? So let me ask you a question. Why do we think like if we get in a big room full of messed up people, we're going to work it all out? This is what we believe in America. We believe if 51% of the people say it's true, it's true. I believe that's baloney. We've tried hard since the 60s to vote sin correct. And guess what it keeps doing? Killing us. Because guess what sin does? Kills you. And no matter how many people agree, well, this isn't sin anymore, it's going to kill you. There's only one solution from death that I found that works on a consistent, steady, forever basis. Guess what His name is? And the crowd was pretty tore up because this Lazarus guy who was dead had come to what? Well, think about it. How many of y'all were once dead and have come to life? Yeah. How many of y'all pretty good? I mean, you're alive in Christ. You realize Jesus has saved you? How many of y'all realize you're not going to die? I think this is good news. I'm going to shed, but I'm not going to die. I told you all that last week. But I just think it's good news we end up in heaven. I think somebody ought to tell you that. In fact, I think Jesus said He's come to preach to the poor and the oppressed, those who can't get there by themselves, and He wants them to know that they can have life. And if they believe in Him, they shall not die, but they shall live for what? I don't know. I think church ought to be jazzed up because it ought to be a place of new life. What do you think? And not a bunch of rules. Well, I got to tell you this, and we're out of here. As life got stirred, guess who acts up? How many of y'all are religious people? I mean, I know you won't raise your hand in here. How many of you all are closet religious people? How many of y'all deep down inside, you look at other human beings and you have these thoughts? I'm just a little bit better than that human being over there. How many of y'all ever had these thoughts? It's okay. The church gave them to you. Yeah, look over there. There's somebody that needs to be saved just like you. You better take a lesson from this week. Before you decide to be the prosecutor, you better make sure you got rid of your own prostitutes. That's the word for everybody. But you know what? There's only one place to find life. And guess where it is? Jesus. And Jesus forgives sinners. And every one of us have done something. And Jesus brings life. Now guess what the Pharisees said? I got to tell you what they said. The religious show up. Dun, 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 dun. We knew Jesus couldn't be getting dead people out of the grave and be stirring these folks up. And they throwing palm branches around yelling, the King of the Jews, the King of Israel. We got too much hype going on in the city. Here come the religious. Boom, 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 boom. So the Pharisees said to one another, once again, this is a very religious people always do what? Talk to one another. Always. Oh, this is a problem. I think. Look at here. This is getting us nowhere. Check it out. The. Ready? Look how the whole world has gone after Him. If we would live our new lives, guess what would happen? The whole world would go after Him. On behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ, and being a part of it over the past 43 years of my life, I would like to apologize to a lot of you who've been listening to the church and wondering where Jesus is. I am very sorry that we've spent more of our time preaching about issues than we have about Him. And so I want to pray that you have heard about Him today. Have you noticed that all the issues the church has railed against, none of them have been changed? Now you want me to really blow you away? Jesus had every issue the modern day church has protested in Rome. And here was His message. I have died so that you can be forgiven. I live so that you might see heaven. Come and follow me. I wonder why we never just preached what He said preach. Nowhere did Jesus say, beat up sinners. And nowhere did Jesus say, tell sinners they're not sinners. There's the two extremes of the modern day church. We got some churches, nobody does anything wrong anymore. You can do what you want to do, party on. And then you got churches that all they do is beat up on sinners. Here's the balance. He has a name. Jesus. The whole world's gone after. I just wonder what our world would look like if we went after Him. You think Jesus could balance the budget? Just check it. You think Jesus could call us to social reform? What do you think? Somebody answer. That's not rhetorical. What do you believe? What do you believe, Reverend Shane?
Absolutely.
I believe Jesus is social reform. I never will forget. I'll give you this testimony of one of our members. He said, I cannot believe what being faithful to Jesus, he was an accountant, he said, how much money that saved. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm not doing what I used to do, and what I used to do, cost money to kill you. I never will forget. That was the line he told me. He said, it costs money to die. To use the things that take our lives. I think Jesus reforms us. What do you think? Now listen, here's all I'm calling you to do. Make a way for Him. And help people see the way is who? Jesus. It's not going to church, it's coming to Jesus. It's not going somewhere, it's letting Jesus come to you. Amen? We're done. How many of y'all got palm branches? And if you don't have, we're going to cover this place with palm branches. And then Rodney and Bobby are going to forgive us after the service. What did they do? They threw down palm branches because who was coming?
Jesus.
Well, today I'm going to ask you to throw these palm branches down on the floor, symbolizing, I want to let Jesus come. Watch this. Now here's what you're saying. Don't throw them down if you're not going to do this. I want Jesus to come through me. Come through me. To show the world who He is. Isn't that cool? So I want Jesus to do what? Come through. Be on His way. And how many of y'all are on the way with Jesus? All right. There are going to be some people here today receive Jesus for the first time. Are y'all okay with that?
Amen.
How many of y'all are praying today that we see some miracles right here at the altar call? Anybody want to see any miracles today? I do. Here's the greatest miracle. Here's the greatest miracle. Here's the greatest miracle. Today there are going to be some people that say these words, and I just want you to hear them clearly. I want you to realize today that you have sinned. And you got to embrace that, and that doesn't feel good. I know that messes with you. Young people, the reason I'm looking over here and I work with you guys is because here's what I know, man. Everybody's conning you. They're conning you. I know what a lot of you believe. You believe, hey, I can blow this Jesus stuff off. I can front it. I can diss on it for a while. And then everything's going to be all right in my life. I can do everything I need to do to be popular and everything's going to be all right. Every adult in here will tell you that's not true. You say, well, how did you know that? I believed the same thing when I sat right here in church. You know, I sat here at 16 or 17. Guess what I did? I slept for an hour and went home. Went to youth group. Need to go to youth group. I'd go to youth group, do my youth group thing. Give a hallelujah. Take a palm branch and say, whoa, Jesus. And then on Friday night, I said, whoa, some other things. And Jesus came anyway. Amen? I want you to get real with Christ. There is sin in this world. And it causes a lot of hell on a lot of people. Sin ushers in disease, poverty, death. Sin captures our minds and lets us believe that we're unworthy of being saved. Sin puts us on a bipolar trip that you've never seen. One day we'll be on cloud nine and the next day we'll be digging the ditch. Because guess what? If you want to live by the devil's ways, he's either up or down. The problem is he's never sound. That's why the Bible says, you know, don't be tossed by the wind and the waves, because you get in the wind and the waves, you're listening to the other side. Jesus said, I'm coming on in no matter what they say. Now here's what I want you to know today. You got a God whose name is Jesus that loves you no matter what. Now we started this teaching today with this truth. God loves all people. Hillview, I'm so proud of you as a church. Now I want you to know, I'll die on this one. May have to one day. May have to one day. God is no respecter of persons. And neither is sin. And God wants all people to be saved. To tell you what I found in my short little existence, I have found people who are genuinely converted by God change their lives more than people who choose to never follow Jesus. There's the finding. I have found that when Jesus says it's a young donkey, it's a young donkey and not a mule. I have found that Jesus, when He says, come forth out of the grave, you'll wiggle your toes, move your legs, and you'll walk past that grave that you used to be in. Amen. Roger, thank you for being a witness today and standing up as an adult man, you know, a cool brother. You know, you're cool. I'm glad you got baptized because guess what you showed today? That cool people can get saved. Amen. And you showed today that I can be a wonderful black man who follows Jesus Christ, and that is more manly than doing other things that are not of God. Thanks for a great witness. Amen. Amen. Now that's the real deal. Let's square up. You know, I want every one of y'all to get saved today. Hey, why don't we just pray today? Nobody goes to hell today. Is that all right? Y'all mess with my afternoon, all afternoon. I see people, y'all know you need Jesus, you know to get baptized. You sit in here, sweat falls off your head during the altar call. You sit there and squeeze your chair, your underwear wads up, all kinds of things go on. And you know what you ought to do? Well, you know what you ought to do? You ought to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And today I have heard without a doubt, you want to get into my life. Here I am. Save me. Some of you say, well, I don't understand it. Well, do this. Lord Jesus, I don't understand it. See what happens. Some of you say, well, I don't believe God exists. Well, good. You pray this today at the altar. Lord, I don't believe you exist, so strike me dead. I mean, I just want to see if you really believe what you believe, or are you just mouthing? Because if you really believe there's no God, you can pray that prayer with all security. Told you about the old atheist that had the old country preacher, didn't I? They couldn't get this boy saved, and this boy was convinced there was no God. I'll make this story short, very short. The country preacher walked in. He said, will you come to church if I can prove to you there's a God? He said, young preacher, you might as well leave. I've seen a lot finer preachers than you try to prove to me there's a God. He said, really? He said, well, I just want to pray for you then. He said, that's all right. He said, God, I pray right now today that you just take this man's wife, you crush his store, you take away all of his economic viability. Lord, that by the end of the day, he'd be laid to waste. He said, stop. He said, I'll see you Sunday. Because if there is no God, it matters not what you pray. Amen. See, y'all even get nervous when I'm just using it as an example. There's a God, but He wants to be on His way into your life. Amen? All right. Amen. Y'all ready to do this thing called an altar? Some of you have already received Jesus this week. Praise God. I'm glad to know that we're all going to heaven together. You need to come let us know. You need to be baptized. That's going to be wonderful. Guess what next Sunday is? Easter, man. Y'all are all going to dress up. All you women, you have an excuse to buy a new outfit in the name of Jesus. Huh? Hey, watch this, ladies. You want me to help you? Ladies, you want me to help you or not? I'm going to make this theological. You can say, honey, I do need a new outfit because it symbolizes the new life that Jesus Christ has given me on this day. Now, I've given you theological backing for it. All right? I said, your wife's in here. I just gave up. I said, honey, be resurrected in the name of Jesus. No, really, maybe a new outfit lets us know truly this. But let's get past our outfit. We need to put on His. How many of y'all live in His new life? His new clothes. His grace. All right. Anybody got any questions today? Y'all ready to go, aren't you? I can see by the look on your eyes. You said, preacher, be quiet in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all really do have prayer lives. Lord, shut him up. We live in a great time. you all and we together are becoming a loving people in Jesus. Keep embracing people. 67,000 people today, if Jesus Christ blew the horn in Warren County, probably a lot more than that, would perish and go to hell. I think probably today and probably in the morning, we need to take a few palm branches symbolically and we need to say, you know what? I want to lay down away right here at this place so somebody can meet Jesus. As I walk in to get my cup of coffee, don't really do this to them, but I'm talking symbolically. Lay down a branch. Jesus says, you go to the minute mark today, may they hear you. Amen? Okay, everybody listening? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. That's the first part of this prayer. I suggest you tell him a lot of the things you've done because then you'll really understand grace. Kind of work like this. God, I'm an adulterer. God, I'm a liar. God, I'm a cheater. God, I haven't worshipped you. God, I've worshipped other things other than you. In Jesus Christ today, I realize that you died on the cross to forgive me of sin. And Lord, I want to take everything I've done and I want to give it to you. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to forgive it and you're going to put me on the other side of the cross, which gives me the power that I don't have to live like this anymore. I am released from the power of darkness and headed to heaven. Is that real clear now? I'm on my way. And Jesus is on his way to you and he loves you. Well, let's stand together. Now, if y'all don't mind, if you'll bring these palm branches. It's where it all starts. It starts at the altar, balcony. I want y'all to come on down and bring those palm branches. Don't want y'all hanging up there in a tree like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus said, come on down. Remember what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Now we'll have one more prayer. Most of you in this room, not all of you, but most of you are followers of Jesus. Easter Sunday morning, I want you to ask some folks to come with you, all right? Want them to hear about the good news they don't have to die and go to hell. Is that okay? Guess what I'm preaching on Sunday? Anybody got y'all want to take a shot at what I'm preaching on Sunday? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, he comes to life and makes new life, and I'm going to go crazy about that because it's true. But today, there's some people that need to receive that new life. Let's just pray for them for just a second. And then some of you need to come and just pray and lay your palm branch down and say, Jesus, I'm just going to walk with you. Let's pray. Lord, there's some people that need to get saved today. And Lord, right now I pray that you get everybody's attention. God, help us because some of us right now, we are so freaking self-absorbed. We couldn't hear you if you yelled in our ears. We're just all about us. But Lord, some have heard you very well today. Lord Jesus, tell him, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. And Lord Jesus, right now, I believe that you would save me. So ask him, Lord Jesus, please save me from my sin. And Lord Jesus, come into my life. See what he'll do. Some of you need to come to be baptized. Some of you need to just come and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm going to start being who you made me to be. You know what you need to do. God's already calling you. So come on, let's talk, let's celebrate, let's love one another. Let's come forward and just realize it can be better than we think it can. Amen. Have y'all heard Pastor today? Every human being's worthy. I'm going to have to love on you now if I see you beating up on another human being. Because all week long, you're going to see that Jesus never beat up on a human being. But he put that hand out. And he put those arms out. And he moved that stone out of the way. And he said, come, O blessed of my Father, to inheritance prepared for you. This altar is open for every human being that's taken breath to breathe in new life. In the name of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit, as He draws you, that Spirit draws you. May you come and be saved. in the name of Jesus. Come, O precious people of God, and let Him change you. Come on. Come on, you don't have to wait for the music. Come on, God is in this house right now. Let Him have His moment with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.